This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Lindsay Clancy delivered babies for a living. She was a labor and delivery nurse. She spent her shifts walking other women through the hardest hours of their lives. She went home to three children of her own less than 3 weeks before she killed those children. A psychiatric hospital looked at her and sent her home. Both sides at her trial agree she was mentally ill. Despite one side at the beginning, not so much. But by the time we got to closings, it was like, we've always said she was, didn't we? You remember that, guys? We always did, huh? Yeah. At least that's where it stands now. The prosecution says so, and her own defense says so. So that, I guess, is not a fight anymore. The fight is whether Lindsay Clancy was so far gone, she didn't know what she was doing was wrong. And while that question sits with 12 jurors, a harder one hangs over the entire case. How does a woman end up inside a psychiatric hospital, get evaluated by trained professionals who know exactly what postpartum illness looks like, walk out the door, and 3 weeks later, her three children are dead? A woman named Megan Cliffle heard about this case and didn't ask that question. She already knew the answer. Cliffle survived the same illness in 2015 and came out the other side. She looked at Lindsay Clancy and said, "That could have been me." The illness has a name. Most people have never heard it explained. And every day that that stays true is a day the system is choosing to let mothers fall through the floor. Postpartum psychosis, it's maybe one in two mothers out of every 1,000 births. It's rare, and it's the single most dangerous psychiatric emergency a new mother can face. The name works against it. Doctors will tell you it's really a mood disorder, closer to bipolar illness than the word psychosis. A mother in the middle of it doesn't look like she's lost her mind. She looks exhausted and anxious and a little off, which means she looks like half of new mothers you've ever met. The mothers most at risk aren't a mystery. A history of bipolar disorder is the single biggest warning sign, along with a psychotic episode after an earlier both or sleep loss deep enough to tip into mania. The medical community has known this for decades. They screen for gestational diabetes. They screen for preeclampsia, and they send 4 out of 5 mothers home without asking a single question about their mental health. It moves fast. Most cases hit within 4 weeks of birth, right when the woman is already shattered from no sleep and everyone around her is watching the baby instead of watching her. The early signs don't scream. She gets paranoid or she stops sleeping for days. The people who love her chalk it up to new mom stress because no one in the healthcare system ever told them what to look for. That's the trap. A mother in this state can arrive at the belief through it feels like careful reasoning that her children are in danger and the only way to protect them is to end their lives. That's the delusion the defense experts described in Clancy's case. It's the same one that drove Andrea Yates 20 years earlier. From the inside, it doesn't register as madness. It registers as the only rational choice left. Well, how can that be? I've never experienced that. Consider yourself lucky. Megan Cliffle described her own episode that way, acting logically inside a reality that's gone completely false. One of the analogies I've been giving on this is, remember a compass, the old school actual compass, not on your phone, magnetically controlled. Magnetic compasses, if you've never used one, they point true north, or they should anyway, if your compass is working right and there's nothing else affecting where the magnetic pull is. But if you know there are certain places, certain conditions, certain objects, certain things you can have around that can affect the way the compass is pointing. And if you're relying on the compass for the direction you're supposed to go, you're going to believe north is north, south is south, and that should help guide you, right? So obviously this is not as extreme as murdering your children, but let's just take for a second an understanding here of what one may be operating under. You're out hiking. You have your compass. You don't know where you are. You're relying on it. I wouldn't be in that situation in the first place. Let's just pretend you are, okay? You got your compass out. You're supposed to go north to get to the campsite. That's where everybody's at. That's where you need to get to. You pull it out. Oh, looks like I'm going north. Continue on your day. Keep hiking. You're going and going and going. You're not like, where is this? Doesn't seem like, what's going on here? You look at your compass and all of a sudden, whoa, I've been going southwest all day. Well, earlier through the day, I was saying I was going north. What's going on? Turns out something was screwing with your compass. But you fully believed the time you were hiking those 8 miles southwest that you thought you were going north. And there really wasn't anything around that was going to convince you otherwise. You maybe even talked to a bunch of compass experts over and over. And every compass expert kept saying, just hold the compass this way a little bit better. Turn it that. It's right. It's right. You're good. You're good. Keep going. And then you realize, oh my God, I've wasted a whole day hiking in the wrong direction. In a very different sense, that's Lindsay Clancy falling out of the psychosis she was in, going, oh my God, the reality I was just operating in, this horrific reality where somehow the right idea was ending the lives of my children. What was I doing? There's nothing that's going to make that make sense. Just like there's nothing that's going to magically make you walk back the 8.5 miles you went southwest when you thought you were going north. Whose fault is it? Is it the person for not having a backup compass? What if you did have a backup compass? Because it sure looks like she had several backup compasses that kept telling her, do this, do that. They didn't even give her a compass. They said, here's a shitty broken GPS. Take this. Oh, it doesn't work well. Basically medicating her for anxiety and depression when she should have been medicated for bipolar. So we're going to give you a bad GPS, a compass that doesn't work. You're going to go the wrong direction. And when you're 8.5 miles southwest and you thought you were going north, we're going to say it's all your fault. That's all you. Well, you should have known better, right? You're nothing. You're nothing. You're just a horrible human being. I mean, that's really what is going on here. And look, I mean, it's obviously horrific what happened. But the means to which we got here, if we don't take a moment to recognize and try to understand and try to be there for future women who are in this boat and don't get failed as horrifically as Lindsay Clancy was, we don't have to have this conversation and those kids can be alive and nobody has to look back going, oh my God, what did I just do? Megan Cliffel described her own episode that way, acting logically inside a reality that's gone completely false. And this is where a lot of people, again, get off track on this. Well, she wasn't doing this. She wasn't doing that. They don't. The mother isn't raving. She's calm and organized and certain of what she's doing, and everyone around her thinks she's fine. That's what makes this so scary. It's not some, oh, I can call that out. No, you can't. It would be great if you could. Those ones are easier to catch. These ones, unfortunately not. And here's a fact that turns this from a tragedy into an indictment. Caught early, postpartum psychosis is treatable. It's temporary. The dangerous window is small. Women get treatment, the acute phase lifts, and they go back to raising their kids and doing their jobs. This illness has a fix, and the fix works. These mothers are dying from something the medical system already knows how to stop. It just doesn't do a very good job at recognizing it. Mental health conditions are now the leading cause of death for new mothers in America. Acid overdose account for close to a quarter of all maternal deaths, according to the CDC. That's more than hemorrhage, more than heart failure. More than 8 in 10 of those deaths were preventable. That's the CDC's own word, preventable. And now only about 1 in 5 American women is screened for depression after she gives birth. Another 4 walk out with a baby in a 6-week checkup. The system that just spent 9 months monitoring every detail of her pregnancy decides her mind is not worth asking about. You know, the most important thing you're using up there? You got this. 65% of pregnancy-related deaths happen in the year after delivery. That's the exact window where American maternity care just disappears. The mother gets one visit around 6 weeks, and after that, she's on her own through the stretch when this illness does its worst. The people best positioned to catch it are her own family, but they have no idea what to look for because the system that delivered the baby never handed them a single page explaining what postpartum psychosis is, what it looks like, or what to do if they see it. Lindsay Clancy was not a woman the system missed. She was a nurse. She'd been inside a psychiatric facility less than 3 weeks before her children died. Whatever the jury decides about her criminal responsibility, she was seen, evaluated, and sent home. This isn't the first time this country has had this conversation in a courtroom. 12 years before Lindsay Clancy's trial, Andrea Yates sat in a courtroom in Houston after drowning her 5 kids in 2001. Her defense said she was psychotic. The forensic psychiatrist at the center of her case was Philip Resnick, the same expert the defense called for Lindsay Clancy. In 2006, a jury found Yates not guilty by reason of insanity. Both sides in that case agreed she was mentally ill. The only fight was whether she understood what she was doing was wrong. Same illness, same expert on the witness stand, same legal fight, 20 years apart, and 3 more children are gone. The prosecution in Clancy's case argues the two women aren't alike. Yates checked herself into hospitals and tried to end her own life before she drowned her children. Clancy prosecutors say acted the first time she heard a voice. Well, we know that that's not true, the way that this all worked out. Clancy tried to get help for months. The country has 20 years after Andrea Yates to build a system that screens mothers, trains families, and makes sure a woman who walks out of a psychiatric hospital doesn't walk out alone. And surprise, it didn't build it. Screening rates have barely moved in 20 years, and the education, it just never happened. A woman who walks out of a psychiatric hospital in 2026 walks out the same gap Andrea Yates fell through in 2001. Megan Cliffel watches this trial, and she's angry. She's angry about the timing. The country pours its attention into postpartum illness after 3 children are dead, and she wants to know where that attention was 5 years ago, or 10, or any of the years when this could have actually stopped at a funeral or stopped a funeral. Reproductive and forensic psychiatrists are already warning about what comes next. A case like this frightens doctors. A physician who watches a mother get charged with murder starts looking at every anxious new mom like a threat. That means locking women in wards too fast, pulling babies from mothers who don't warrant it, calling Child Protective Services because a doctor is scared of liability instead of focusing on care. And when mothers see that happening, the ones who are struggling learn to keep their mouths shut. Why? Because we've already seen the vitriol, the hate, the anger, the she should die, she's horrible, she's a witch. You think that encourages any mom who's feeling a little bit off to talk? No, because they know the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is that she's a witch. A woman who believes that admitting she's not okay could get her baby taken away. They will smile and say they are fine. The system that failed to screen her on the way in could now punish her for speaking up. That's the ugliest possible outcome of this trial. One person in this case had more reasons than anyone to call Lindsay Clancy a monster. Her husband, Patrick, lost all 3 of his children that day. He's not out there demanding the maximum sentence. In his own words, he's asked for compassion for the woman he married. He's talked about marriage that grew stronger even as her condition worsened. Patrick Clancy seemed to understand something the loudest voices in this case kept missing. What took his children was an illness. And somehow half the internet thought he did it. Rather than dealing with the very real reality of mental health. That's too icky to talk about. It was him. This trial doesn't have to end with fear. It dragged a set of facts into daylight that most Americans never had. What postpartum psychosis looks like, how fast it moves, who's at risk. Well, that's treatable. Those facts used to live in psychiatric journals. They're on the evening news now. The warning signs, bipolar history, sleep that vanishes for days, a new mother who seems off in the way no one can quite name, and entering public knowledge for the first time. A husband, a sister, a friend who sees something wrong in someone they love can name it better now. Maybe early enough to make a difference. If you're watching this and going, I'm kind of feeling that way, there's a number that could help. The National Maternal Mental Health Hotline, 833-TLC-MAMA. 833-TLC-MAMA. Free, any hour, call or text. It's been running since 2022, and the system that should have been handing it out to every new mother hasn't really told many people it existed. Megan Cliffel said that could have been me because she knows how close she came. Turn that sentence around, and it's the most useful thing to come out of this entire case. Any of us could be the person who sees it in someone we love, picks up the phone, and stops the next house from going silent. What did we get out of this trial? Other than, I think, an awareness of people's limitations on critical thinking. Learned a lot of that. Some folks just don't appear to be capable of it. And some seem to take it off the deep end very fast. And some stay very based in facts and reality. And I don't know. It's been a fascinating one to watch. It's been more fascinating watching us as a society, more so than the torturing of Lindsay Clancy at a table, as she has to relive the absolute worst moments of her life as her mind betrayed her. Your thoughts in the comment section. Be sure to press subscribe. We're going to be here for you. Covering this and many cases. Be sure to press subscribe and take us with you as a podcast. The QR code there at the bottom of the screen. Follow that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, so you can take us wherever you go. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.